Yo, welcome to the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. If it's your first time to the table, welcome, welcome. Glad that you decided to join us. Pull up a seat, grab a plate, make yourself at home because you know how we do it in the Carolinas by now. We eat good around here. The investment is doable and the portions are generous. So if you leave hungry, that's on you. You can't blame nobody else. That's on you, my friend. Episode 17. We are rolling along on this podcast. Thank you so much for all the support. Thankful to everybody who has liked the episodes, shared it, who have offered feedbacks about who I should get on the podcast and whatnot. I definitely am very appreciative of all the insight, and I am definitely taking notes and reaching out to people. I'm excited for what's to come. Excited for today's interview. This was a first. A lot of the previous guests that I've had on the podcast have been people who I've known prior to interviewing them. I've had many conversations with them, but you'll quickly see that this is a first ever on the podcast, and you'll quickly figure out what that first is. But excited to have sat down with JD Tominski. He's got a great story and a lot of awesome insight. I was very thankful for him for carving out time to be able to come and sit down with me on the podcast. So without much further ado, please welcome JD.
JD, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to set a record, and we've already talked about what that record is going to be, but as is customary on the podcast, the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast, I always ask my guests, do you remember the first time we met?
I do remember it. And it's funny you say that because I was just thinking about it. And I was thinking about it because it was actually about 10 minutes ago.
Yep. It's crazy. So we connected through social media and we were able to, coordinate this. And like I said, I really appreciate you making time to come and do this.
Of course, man. I love what you're doing over here. And I think, like you said, I think we made a connection. I think we connected on LinkedIn and Twitter and all the social medias. So it just felt right to do something like this. So in Clemson for the weekend, wanted to hit you up, and timing worked out. So here we are.
Absolutely. So for anybody who has never met you before, how would you introduce yourself?
I would introduce myself as a Philadelphia area native who went to school down here at Clemson. I have a lot of pride for going here, and I've had a lot of pride since I graduated back in 2007. I'd introduce myself as a veteran in the entertainment industry. So I've worked in TV and I've worked in music thus far. And I've been in New York City working for about 10 years. And I think it all always comes back to Clemson, which is why I always come back here. You know, I try to get back here multiple times a year, and why I'm here this weekend.
So let's start there because, you know, not being from South Carolina, not being from the South in general, but you mentioned you make it a priority to come back. Talk about how the experience at Clemson, I guess, really helped to shape, you know, some of your perspectives and things like that. And what is it about this place that you find special?
Yeah, so, I purposely went out of my comfort zone because, after high school, a lot of the people go to the same sort of colleges around the area. So I'm from the Philadelphia area. So a lot of the people would go to, Penn State or Temple or St. Joe's or some of the Philly schools or some of the New Jersey schools. So when I was looking at colleges, I was purposely looking out of the way. So I was looking down here in the South. So, you know, I looked at Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, UNC, just to get a different perspective on things and perspective in life. And eventually I made my way down here, and I think it was the right decision. I think, you know, this place has shaped me in a lot of ways, and it's made me approach things in a different way. It's a different lifestyle down here compared to a quicker lifestyle up north or in the Northeast, especially in New York City where I live now. So I think it's just made me a more well-rounded person. And as a result of that experience, I personally like to give back to the school as much as I can, you know, and not just, you know, donations and things like that, but I like to come back and I frequently speak to students and I speak to faculty and sort of do what I can to, you know, enhance the experience here. So that's why I'm always coming back. And aside from that, obviously I'm here for, you know, I'm here for game weekends and I enjoy all the activities that go along with that. So I think it's just made me a more well-rounded person overall. And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Have you always had a desire to give back?
Yes, I do. And I have. And the thing about me is when I give back, whether it's charity or, you know, monetarily or things like that, is, and I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I don't really broadcast what I do a lot. So I do what I do, but I do it sort of under the radar just because I have a passion for doing certain things and, you know, charitable causes and things along those lines. But, you know, if you were to approach me, you probably wouldn't know what I do because I don't broadcast it, like I said, but it is a passion of mine. I think it's also a passion of my wife's as well. So,
What is it, I guess, that brings you the most joy in what you do? I'll say from a day-to-day perspective.
I think I like seeing other people win.
Yeah.
I was brought up by my parents to be selfless and always think about the people around you. So whenever I get the opportunity, I enjoy, you know, spreading my knowledge and putting people in the right positions to win and succeed in life. So that's just a strong passion of mine. And again, it's not always me broadcasting all the stuff that I do on social media.
Sure.
But it's something, if you ask certain people, they'll tell you things that I've done to go out of my way to help people put, you know, get in the right position to win. So it's just spreading the word of my experience, really.
Do you have anybody, you know, or probably a group of people that probably come to mind that probably did that for you growing up and coming up?
Truthfully, I made a lot of my own opportunity growing up, aside from my obviously my family. So I have a brother and a sister and my parents and, you know, my immediate friends. But aside from my immediate family and the faculty here, obviously, everybody's always helped me, you know, get in good positions. But I've actually done a lot of I've actually been pretty self-sufficient when it comes to putting myself in the right position. I know how hard that can be. So that's why I go out of my way to help people now that I know that. So, you know, I've you know, just personally, I've done a lot of research on different things. I, you know, go out of the box when it comes to learning different things. So, you know, I graduated in 2007. I self-taught myself, you know, all social media. I self-taught myself HTML and coding and a lot of different things. So, you know, a lot of it's self-sufficient, but I definitely want to thank, you know, my immediate family and faculty and things like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, especially when you have somebody who, you know, even if they have great help, great resources and things like that, you still have to have that drive to want to do it and to make things happen. And I think one of the things, you know, especially from a leadership perspective that I come across with a lot of people is they're afraid to fail. And it doesn't seem like, from what I'm hearing of your story right now, it's like you almost embrace, you know, challenges and being out of your comfort zone. Talk about, I guess, kind of how you develop that.
Yeah, it's, listen to this quote. It's great to fail. it's great to fail because you just learn so much. And, you know, it's the people that are afraid to fail that, you know, I feel like are at a hindrance in life and don't experience things. And, you know, and, you know, I just really embrace that, like you said, and I think it's helped me become a more well-rounded person overall, both personally and professionally. And, you know, I'm not comfortable being comfortable. So, you know, like I said, I like to embrace that challenge and, I don't like the status quo. I always like to be evolving and changing things up and, you know, embracing emerging technologies and new people and, you know, anything you can think of. So that's really my mindset.
I mean, and from you personally, you know, it definitely sounds like it's something you practice very frequently. how do you, I guess, build a culture around that within people you work with, people you're serving and working for, you know, because obviously, yeah, you can be the, you know, I guess the person kind of starting, you know, all right, we're going to try this, but you have to have buy-in from other people and they got to want to do it too. So how do you create that culture? Is it creatable?
I think it is. So, I mean, professionally, the first 4 years of my professional experience, you know, while I had a day-to-day corporate job on the side, I was actually doing a lot of this stuff. So on the side, I was teaching myself photography and videography and, like I said, HTML and social media and all this other stuff. So I was doing a lot on the side, and that really shaped who I became. And then when I got to Columbia Records, and now I'm at Def Jam, I think I've assembled, you know, the right staff around me to really have that mindset and teach them, you know, how I work. And people just buy into it. I think, you know, I think if you get to know me, you'll see that I'm a very confident person. Again, even if I fail, I think, you know, there's something to be taught of that. And I just try to instill some of my beliefs in the people around me. And generally, I've had good buy-in and I've had good success. So I think once you have a reputation of success, people are naturally going to not necessarily follow, but, you know, embrace the mindset a little bit more. So I've been fortunate to have great people around me that have made me better as well. So I'm sure you've experienced that with your, you know, your experience on the court and everything you do athletically.
Yeah. When I played, I was the energy guy. So I was always, you know, loose balls, you know, communicating, doing different things to kind of get people going. But, you know, I think one of the things with it was consistency. You know, I think, you know, anybody can, you know, like when you're in the middle of conditioning, preseason conditioning, you know, it's like if you've got 10 runs and somebody's like up and yelling, it's like, all right, yeah, let's do this. So you do this the first one, the second one. When you get to that eighth or ninth one and, you know, it's like, you still down there? You know, it's like, but if you're doing it the entire time and you're making your times and you're doing it, you know, the buy-in becomes easy because they know they can trust you because the consistency is there.
Yeah. So I agree with that.
Yeah. I definitely sense that. So, where would you say, I would say, you know, if you've got to have this, you've got to embrace, discomfort, and you've got to, you know, how to kind of show a sense of initiative and things like that. Other than just not doing those things, what are some other pitfalls, would you say, that you've seen from people, you know, who don't pursue what it is they want? Because I think a lot of people want a lot of things. You know, they want to say, oh, yeah, like, I want to be signed to Def Jam. I want to be all this and that. And I think, you know, I've actually been, you know, around music, music industry myself. And, I think a lot of times from what I've heard from conversations with people is like, they expect, like I want to get signed so that way y'all can do this and I can just kind of ride the coattail. But in a lot of ways, you know, just like with basketball, like you recruit somebody and you can recruit them. And you're hoping to see their habits, and then from there you can see what can come of it. Not just, oh, you had a song that, you know, went off and, you know, went viral, but like, was that a one-time thing? Was that a consistency? Like, a lot of people aren't bought into the process.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is, you know, whether you have an NBA contract or you're signed to a record label, that's just the beginning.
Right.
That's when you start working. That's not when you end work and you let the process take itself. That's when you start doing all this stuff. And I think that's where a lot of people run into pitfalls, you know, professionally, you know, personally or professionally. So I think it's once you attain what you want to attain, then you start moving and grooving. You start doing your thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you start feeling like because you're of a certain status or because you got to where you are, and you deserve something just off the jump because of that, I think that's a major issue.
Yeah.
I think you see a lot of that when it comes to whether it's a professional athlete or a recording artist saying, you know, oh, I'm signed, why am I not bigger? Or, you know, why is my song not number one here or there? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's not a lot of people who are willing to put in that work. So I think that's a really big pitfall that I've seen in the past and that I've noticed. Just once you're in that situation, man, you got to make the most of it. And you just got to go for it. You haven't made anything really.
Yeah. How crucial is timing when it comes to, I guess, taking initiative? You know, like there's kind of a sweet spot. You don't want to rush and do too much, but at the same time, you don't want to just completely just drop off. You know, how do you kind of measure that? How you kind of gauge that? And every person, at least when it comes to music, or even when it comes to people creating stuff or, you know, showing initiative, everybody has their different timetables. How do you kind of regulate, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think
urgency, I guess.
I think I appreciate you know, people going out of their way to show initiative. But the thing that I look at is everything you're doing genuine and for the greater good of, you know, the goals that we're trying to meet?
Yeah.
So, like, for LinkedIn, for instance, I see a lot of people taking initiative and reaching out and doing all this stuff, but, you know, you can sort of tell that, you can tell when somebody's just copying and pasting the same thing and sending it to, like, you know, 50 people versus someone who sat there and studied your profile on LinkedIn, maybe looked at your website, and seen some of your work and has, you know, made a personal touch to, you know, what they're trying to do. And that's the initiative that I appreciate a little bit more is, when somebody adds that personal touch and you can tell that it's 100% genuine. I used to run a music website, with my buddy Jordan, and we would get submissions for new music to be posted all the time. But, you know, I would delete 95% of them because you could tell it was just someone just copying and pasting and sending it to a million people. But once in a while, there were smart people who would write a genuine note and say, you know, I love this post that you did in the past, or, you know, did some research on me or the company. And I think someone taking the time to do that and send a note really gain my, you know, gain my attention a little bit more. And then I would listen to the song and maybe that person would get a post on the website versus, you know, someone else who may have talent, but, and took the initiative to reach out, but it wasn't really genuine. So, I think,
being authentic,
man.
It's a lost art.
Yes. It's a lost art. And, you know, it's also an art to seeing through it. Seeing through people and, you know, trying to see people's ulterior motives and things like that. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, no,
it's wild out there.
That's good. And I think, you know, when you see people, they want something so bad, you know what I'm saying? That unfortunately they'll become something that they're not just so that they can accomplish it. You know, they'll, you know, they lose the personal touch, you know, because they feel like they have to become something, you know, this, that they're not, you know, and it's kind of disheartening. It kind of breaks my heart. You know, for me, one of the things, you know, with what I do is there's a lot of people, within sports, within anything, it's like, you know, find their identity sometimes too much in what they do and like being able to just like, oh, that's all that I find value in. You know, and you're not necessarily being authentic. You don't, for some people, they don't know that they're not, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you don't know. But, you know, I think when certain people are, you could see them striving, you know what I'm saying? Like they're trying to make something happen. And it just may not be a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, it breaks my heart because it's like, I almost want to give you this thing that you want just so you can see it's not a good fit. But, you know, some people have to learn the hard way, I guess.
I get it, man. It's just, you know, I think those, just for my industry, so I work in the music industry. And I think that's an industry where You know, there's a lot of flashing cash and, you know, fitting the role to be someone who you may not necessarily be. But you can always tell when there's, you know, a genuine artist and a genuine artist on social media who you can tell who is reaching out to fans and sending personal notes and, you know, adding those personal touches versus, you know, someone who's just nonstop promoting, you know, whatever, just to make some money.
And they don't have any purpose behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, they'll see hypothetically. It's like, oh, well, like Logic did this, like listening, you know, party. I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's your purpose behind it? Do you want it so that way you can say, oh yeah, I did this thing, but is it actually to connect with your you know, followers to be able to give them a unique experience?
I think one of the things to keep in mind is, you know, as an artist or an athlete or a public figure that, you know, I work in marketing, but not everything you do has to be about marketing. Like,
yeah, that's
just
good.
Just keep it real with people, man.
That's good. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's great to have that mindset, and I have that mindset naturally nowadays, but man, just keep it real with people sometimes. And
it's okay to not document everything.
Yes.
It's okay to not, you know, say like, oh yeah, you know, I talked to this person or I did this, you know, like just build with people.
Yeah,
exactly. A lot of natural things come just from being authentic.
Yeah. Easy, man.
Being authentic. You know, kind of getting to the end of this, I do have just kind of a few more questions. You know, you talked about, you know, pouring back into students and to people who are kind of up and coming. What would you say, I'll say one piece of advice to somebody who is trying to figure out what they want to do?
Okay. I mean, I think you just need to step back and just, you know, look at the core of what makes you happy in life and what you genuinely enjoy doing, because there's a lane and there's a path for somebody in every single little tiny industry that you can possibly think about.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's sports, there's so many different avenues in sports you can do outside of being an athlete.
Yeah.
In music, you can become agent, marketing, A&R, radio, digital marketing, social media analyst.
Everybody wants to be an artist, though.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be an artist, yeah. But yeah, I think there's so many different lanes that you can go nowadays.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, truthfully, you can make up your own lane nowadays just with the power of the internet nowadays. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just at the very core of it, just step back and just think about what makes you happy in life and what you're personally passionate about. And, you know, there's always a way in there somehow, and there's always an industry for everything. So I think as simple as that, really. And I think also, you know, and I was saying this earlier this morning to a student, is just because you're in a certain major in college or you go to school with, you know, to get a business degree, just keep in mind, you know, 5 years from now, you may be doing something that has nothing to do with business at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to be, you have to be able to pivot, and you have to be able to, embrace things as they come along. Because, you know, I work in marketing now and like advertising. I didn't do advertising or marketing in college. I was a communications major and a journalism minor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know your path in life. So I would say just be open to, you know, what comes your way and just go for it, man.
What are some books or media that you've consumed over the last few months that's really inspired you?
Nothing per se. I think it's reading other people's stories. So I've been really active on socials, and I read a lot of pieces on medium.com. I read personal blogs of people in social media and specific markets that I'm personally interested in.
Yep.
So not so much books per se, but I like to zone in on specific people and mm-hmm. I follow their stories yeah. to get inspiration because there's a lot of great people out there doing a lot of great things. And I've really embraced, if you know me, you can see that I've really embraced LinkedIn over the past like year.
Yes.
And, you know, I use that to really to self-promote not only myself, but my entire team to yeah. show, mm-hmm. you know, what we're doing as a collective, just to share a little bit of insight.
I'll say, as somebody who follows you, I appreciate that. It does. It's really cool to just see the updates every now and then of like different stuff that you're a part of. And I'm like, oh yeah, because
yeah, so. It's cool. So I like sharing that little bit of insight. And, you know, I also follow people who do the same thing. So, mm-hmm. I'm always studying other people and what other people are doing,
yep.
For some inspiration or just to follow their own journey. So
yeah.
You know, just pick a few fields that you're interested in and do your research and keep yeah. up with it, really. Cool. So that's how I sort of maintain.
Awesome. JD, I really appreciate it.
This is great. That flew by, man.
I told you it'd be great. It's going to be easy, casual, laid back.
Yeah.
How can people get in touch with you? It's time for you to shout out social media if you want to.
Yeah, just hit me up whenever. I'm on LinkedIn, JD Tuminski, Tuminski. Or on social media, j.shots, J-D-O-T, shots, all one word. I sort of just post my personal journey and, you know, what's going on in New York and with friends, family, and music industry stuff. And I'll post my dog, too. So she's really cute.
Honey the
bun. Yeah. So, yeah, just keep up with me there. Just
yeah.
feel free to reach out, and I'll do my best to get back. But again, if you're reaching out, man, send a genuine note.
Yes.
Make sure to make it count.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll chop it up and make some cool stuff happen.
Who knows? You might actually be able to get him on a podcast.
There we go. Yeah. Easy.
So, cool.
This Appreciate is great. It. Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
That'll wrap it up for this episode of the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. Big ups to JD for coming on the show and talking his talk. And man, it was great time, man. It was really, really incredible. I think also one of the cool things about this is if you didn't catch throughout the episode is how you engage with people on social. You know, we live in a very connected world, and I was very thankful to make the connection through social media with JD, and conversations that took place online allowed for conversations to happen offline, and very thankful for that. So big ups to him. Please stay tuned for, you know, the next episodes of the podcast. Excited to have some more guests on who are sharing leadership insight and their stories and experiences. Be sure to reach out to me on social media, BeNice21 on Twitter, Instagram. Find me on Facebook. Just reach out to your boy and just let me know what you think of it, what you got from it, how you enjoyed the episode. I always love hearing feedback. So till next time, take care and God bless.